By the time Brittany Steele was 8 years old, no one at the all-girls school she attended in Manhattan would even race her anymore. She was just too fast.
That's reporter Eilish O'Neill, who brings us this story from Haverford College in Pennsylvania.
You couldn't join an organized sport until fifth grade, so I had always planned on joining an organized sport in fifth grade, and I was like, okay, I'll run track. I like running. Running is fun.
Brittany set her aims high. One day, she was watching ESPN when she saw the Millrose Games, the world's longest running and most prestigious indoor track meet. It's held in New York City every winter.
And I was like, I'm going to run that one day.
But Brittany's body had other ideas.
Since I would think since kindergarten, she'd always say, Mommy, my heart, it hurts.
This is Brittany's mom, Dawn Steele.
She was little and she couldn't really explain. She was just, and this kept on going on for years. So then after a while, I said, something has to be wrong. But it'll only last for like a few seconds.
As Brittany got older, she got better at explaining what was wrong.
Like chest pain or lightheadedness and dizziness. Or like hearing my heartbeat in my ears and like feeling it racing in my chest for like a minute. Not that long, but it was really scary when it happened because you're not really aware of your heartbeat. And then when you suddenly become aware of your heartbeat and the fact that it's racing, like, and there's nothing you can do about it, you feel very helpless.
And sometimes it'll go for months and you don't get it. And then sometimes within a few weeks, you'll get it. It's nothing that was consistent. And most of the time she got it, she was very relaxed. It's not when she was running or she was active. She would just be sitting, reading, and that's most of the times when it would act up.
When Brittany was in third grade, her mom took her to the doctor, who set out to solve the mystery of Brittany's racing heart. Until they had a diagnosis, Brittany was told to stop exercising. The doctors didn't want to run the risk that her heart raced so fast it stopped altogether. That meant no PE, no organized sports, no running. When Brittany heard that, she broke down.
Like, at first, it was like, don't cry, screw it, I don't care, I'm crying. And I was, like, bawling, like sobbing, like, snot out the nose type crying. Like, I was very upset.
Taking away Jim from her was, like, cutting off her arm.
The search for a diagnosis took 2 years. First, the doctors made Brittany wear heart monitors for 24 hours at a time. But those monitors never caught anything because she never happened to be wearing one when her heart started racing. Then, they gave her a monitor she had to carry around for 3 months in a coin purse. It was attached to sensors on her chest.
There was like the sticky gel stuff you use to like stick on your chest and like different places. You had to take off my shirt, just like basically, and my sister would like put them where they needed to go, and she would like help me get them off, but like you couldn't pull it too fast, otherwise you'd end up with these like rashes everywhere, and it was just like awful and really painful.
It wasn't fun, but it was what gave the doctors the evidence they needed to diagnose what was wrong. Brittany had Wolff Parkinson-White, a rare condition that affects about 0.25% of the population.
Basically, what it means is that a patient is born with an extra electrical connection between the upper and lower chambers of the heart.
Dr. Robert Pass is the physician who treated Brittany. He says the problem with having an extra electrical pathway in your heart is it can essentially short-circuit. So when Brittany's heart hurt, when she was dizzy or faint, this is what was happening.
The electrical impulse is running between the upper and lower chambers around a little short circuit at very rapid rates, which is why your heart is beating so fast.
The problem is, if your heart beats too fast, it can just stop. That means sudden cardiac arrest or death. But Brittany wasn't too concerned about dying. After all, she was just 11 years old. Death didn't seem real to her.
I was not scared at all. Like, I knew cardiac arrest was bad, and I knew, like, death was bad, but I was not actually afraid of dying. I was more concerned with, like, you know, hey, I want to do this fun thing, and I can't do that fun thing. And I actually remember having the thought one day, I was like, I mean, if I do die, I'd rather die and, like, have fun. Like, I don't want to be bored. have not gotten to do the stuff I wanted to do. It was also really sad being in fifth grade and like watching everybody else start and join the track team because it was the first year anyone could join an organized sport. And I was just like, man, this sucks. And like people would be running and like sometimes I'd see them running and I'm like, I am totally faster than you.
Brittany wasn't scared, but her mom was.
I'd worry about it more. And I'd cry a lot. You know, I didn't even share this with Brittany because I didn't want to scare Brittany. But as a mother, I'd be up at days and I'd think about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know. So, you know, and I'd try to think, what can I do to help Brittany? But then there was nothing I could do.
There are two ways to treat Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. You can burn the extra pathway with an electrical current, or you can freeze it with liquid nitrogen. Dr. Pass decided he would freeze Brittany's, since the extra pathway was close to the normal one, and he didn't want to risk damaging the main pathway. The day Brittany went in for her operation, she was 11 years old and terrified.
I was, like, twitchy panicky, which was concerning them. I wasn't, like, panicking.
This is an operating room at Montefiore Children's Hospital, where Dr. Pass is treating a child with a heart condition like Brittany's. The beeps you're hearing represent the heartbeat of the patient currently on the operating table. Just as he did to Brittany nearly a decade ago, Dr. Pass feeds one catheter up a vein in one leg and another catheter up the artery in the other. The catheters will deliver liquid nitrogen right to her heart. While Brittany was on the operating table, her mom was out in the waiting room.
I was just like, okay, God, I'm just going to trust you in this. I'm not going to worry. I just tried to kind of calm myself.
Brittany came out alive and well, and after 3 months without heart palpitations, she was cleared for running in sixth grade. The first thing she did was sign up for the track team. She was still the fastest girl at her school.
My high school coach, Nicholas Colasso, coolest dude on the planet. One day he was like, you want to try and qualify for the Milrose Games?
Remember the Milrose Games? That was the track meet Brittany had always wanted to run in.
And I was just like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, like, I think you could do it. I was like, yes?
At the qualifying meet, Brittany barely slipped into the finals by 1/100th of a second. There were 8 girls in the race, and she had to be in the top 4 to qualify for the Milrose Games.
And I remember, like, walking off the track, and my coach wasn't even watching the race. And I was like, what do you mean you didn't watch the race? And he's like, I couldn't look. I was too nervous. And then we're, like, both looking at the board, and we just see my name, like, light up in 4th place. And we were like, yes!
So Brittany went to the Milrose Games in February of her senior year of high school.
I came in 7th out of 7, but I didn't really care that much. I mean, I don't know that I'm ever going to get a cooler experience. That was just, like, such a big payoff.
Brittany's now a successful sprinter and triple jumper for Haverford College in Pennsylvania. But her heart condition is still with her. She can't take Tylenol or most cold medicines or drink caffeine. And she says she still gets heart palpitations every once in a while. Though doctors tell her the extra electrical pathway in her heart remains frozen. Despite all that, she keeps running.
I view it as, like, a gift that God gave me, and I'm obligated to use it. I don't know how many people know what it's like to literally be told that you aren't going to be able to do something, and then something changes, and you can. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm absolutely going to do it. I'm going to do it as much as I possibly can, because, like, this wasn't even supposed to happen, and now I can do it, so I want to take it as far as I can possibly take it.
And she's off. For Only a Game, I'm Alicia O'Neill.